Welcome to the Life Podcast, where we offer real hope to real people dealing with real life. We filter our thoughts through God's thoughts and our ways through God's ways. We pray you're blessed by this podcast. Enjoy the show.
This is the Life Podcast Show, living intentionally for eternity, people. We are back. I am Dez Oots. Have you ever thought about, have you ever felt like, yeah, I know I'm a Christian, but I just don't feel like it. Yeah, I know I'm a Christian, but my life just doesn't reflect it. Yeah, I know that what I experienced when I came to Jesus was real. But after the years and the years of walking with him, I feel like it's not that real no more. I felt like that plenty of times, and there's times in my life when I feel like that for days and months. So you're not alone. But what I do want to say to you and challenge you with is you have to learn to not trust your heart, but trust God's word. I'm not going to come here and tell you and give you a magic pill that's going to set you off into the sunset of Christian living. Every Christian has their dark days. Every Christian has days where they're troubled in their soul. Every Christian has days, I dare to say, where they succumb to sin. Every Christian has moments in their lives where the world may look at them and not be able to tell a distinction between them and the world. Now, even though that should scare us and it should sober us up, we shouldn't run from that truth. Martin Luther, the great reformer of Germany, once said this. A parishioner came up to him. Parishioner is just a congregant, someone that's in your congregation, that he's leading, a sheep in his flock. And she came up to him and she said, "Pastor, I know you're a great man of God. I know that you are amazing and you love God and you love the gospel. But please, can you tell us, why do you preach the gospel every single Sunday? We get it. We hear it. We know it." And Martin Luther, in his German way, looked at her and said, "Sister, I preach the gospel to you every Sunday because you forget it every Monday." Right? So that's us. That's us. At my church, we have a moniker or something that's repeatedly said when I'm talking to a pastor, an elder, or just a lay member of the church. When I'm telling them about my struggles or sin that I may be struggling with, or how I'm not loving my wife well, or I'm not being a good father, good role model in my home, and I start navel gazing, it's like looking inward, actually trying to look at your navel. and they will say to me this astonishing line. They will say, "Des, for every one look you look at yourself, look at Christ 10 times more. For every one look that you look at yourself, look at Christ 10 more times. Look at Christ. Keep looking at Christ." Because here's the problem. This is what we do. We go to Christ for salvation from hell, but we don't go to Christ for salvation from ourselves. I'll say it again. We will go to Christ for salvation for hell, but we will not go to Christ for salvation from ourselves. One thing I like to say quite honestly and over again, and I say it with frequency, because it's true. It's three trinities in this world. Three of them. Three of those things. One true, two false. One true, two false. So we have the Holy Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then we have the devil, who tries to mirror what God does. He wants to be like God. So, of course, he's going to set up his own wicked trinity, which will be the devil, the flesh, and the world, right? So this sinful nature that we inherited through Adam was influenced through Satan, was tempted. So Satan hates God. He hates everything about God. He introduced sin into the world through temptation, and our forefather Adam and Eve took the bait, and now we have this sinful nature. So he uses the flesh against us, this indwelling sin that we all carry around with us from when we were first conceived. And then he uses this world system. Remember, First John says, for this world only offer three things, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So he uses this three deadly peace trinity, false trinity, to deceive us, right? So he uses himself, the devil, the world, this world system that's set aside against God, not the cosmos, not necessarily the earth, but the world as in the systems of the world that's set aside against Christ, who hates Christ and hates God. And he also uses our sinful flesh to tempt us. But this is the one that we don't talk about a lot. And this is the one that gets me probably the most. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. So I think what we do quite often, and if you're honest with yourself, I think what we do the most is we navel gaze too much. We stop looking at Christ. When we first come to Christ, we can't take our eyes off of him. I mean, he's beautiful and we see his love and his mercy. It's like that song, I never know how much it costs to see my sin upon the cross. So we see that, we hear that song and we like, yes, like someone actually paid the debt that I owe God. The life that I was supposed to give God, I couldn't live, and Jesus lived that for me. The death that's owed because of my sinful life, that what I was going to have to constantly endure in hell forever because of my sin, Jesus took that on himself. Him, he who knew no sin, became sin for me. He became sin for us. Isaiah says that it was God, it brought God pleasure to crush his son in my place. What great love is that? And we come and we know this truth, and somebody shares this truth with us, and we're overjoyed, and we want to share it with everyone else. We're zealous, we're passionate, we're just on fire for the Lord. But then something happens. This world, the flesh, ourselves, that starts to douse that fire down through testing and trials and temptation. And you find yourself compromising. And every time you compromise, the fire dies out a little bit more. It dies out a little bit more. It dies out a little bit more until you realize, you wake up like, man, what has happened? What happened? I was just on fire. I just was enjoying all this. I was just talking about God. And I was reading my Bible and I was praying and I was delighting in the Lord and everything. And I was just so excited. What happened to me? Great question. Now listen, when you read the Psalms, when you read Ephesians, when you read about Paul, when you read about Jacob, when you read about David, when you read about Joseph, when you read about Abraham, when you read about Isaac, when you read about all these godly men that God has introduced through his word, you will see the weakness of human nature. Paul Washer says it best. There's only one hero in the story of the Bible, and it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Everyone else fails, including you and I. If you keep looking to yourself to maintain your Christian life, you will be deeply disappointed and you will always live in a perpetual state of defeat. And I'm experiencing that. I have experienced that. And I just want to come on and let you know that's not how God calls us to live. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. But in who? The preposition is in. The prepositional phrase is in Christ Jesus. Your victory comes from him. Your victory comes from him. I think a life verse that we should adopt, a life verse that we should definitely adopt is Galatians 2:20. Listen to what it says. Listen, look how Paul deals with this issue. This is what he says. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, what he goes on to say, I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die for me. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. We go to God for salvation. God, please save us from hell. Please save me from your wrath. Please save me from eternal damnation. And then God does that in his grace and his mercy. And then we turn around and say, God, well, I don't really need you that much now. I have my fireproof insurance. No. That's not how it goes. Christ saved you. Now Christ wants to live in and through you. Christ has taken up residence in your soul. The core of who you are, Christ is there, and he wants to continue his mission on earth through you. And you can't do that apart from him. What does Jesus constantly say? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from the vine, the branches don't grow. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. But if you stop abiding, I'm no longer abiding in you and you become useless. How many of y'all have felt useless in your walk with Christ? You don't witness to anybody. You don't look any more different than anybody. You start doing the same things you did before you were a Christian because you become useless. I've become useless because we stopped abiding, because we've taken our eyes off of Christ. It's almost like when you learn how to ride the bike. One thing that I don't even know who told me how to ride a bike, but I know one thing they told me is keep your eye on the road. Don't look down. If you look down on a bike, you're going to go down on that bike. You got to look ahead. You got to keep looking straight. The pedal's going to work. Everything's going to work if you do your part. Because that's the way it was designed. It was designed to flow. The bike is designed to flow. It's designed to brake when you press the brakes. It's designed to speed up when you pedal faster. It's designed for it to work the way it was meant to work. But if you try to change that in any type of way, you're going to hurt yourself. And that's the same exact thing in Christianity. As Dr. Tony Evans says, it's like trying to drive a car in neutral. You put the car in neutral and you're trying to floor that joint, but you're not going anywhere because it's not designed to drive in neutral. It's designed to drive and drive. Same thing with our walk with Christ. We try to be saved by grace, but then live by works. We try to be saved by grace, but then live by works. We feel real good when we do our Bible study and we pray and we fast and we went to church consistently and we doing ministries and we doing this and we doing this, all this Christian activity. But at night, when you lay down your head or when you sin, all that stuff is gone. Now, when you do sin, there should be sorrow. That's what James says. Let there be sorrow for your sin, not laughter and joy. You should mourn over your sin, but not to despair. Again, when you look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. Look at the cross and remember, he died for me. He loves me. I'm now his child, not just his creation. When he looks at me, he sees his son. I've been justified. I'm being sanctified. And one day I'll be glorified. And you have to constantly remember that he who started the work in you will bring it to completion. If you forget that and you take your eyes off the road, you're going down like the bike. You're going to get scuffed up and you're going to be hurt really bad. Don't do that. Continue to look at Christ. Don't be like the parishioner that says, we know the gospel, we get it. No, you don't. That's why you got to hear it every Monday, because you forget. You forget that it's by grace through faith that you've been saved, not works by man, so that you can boast in it. And that's what we be wanting to do. We be wanting to boast in the fact that we got saved, like we did something. You were dead in your sin and trespasses, as Ephesians 2:1 says. I was listening to a guy today, Steve Lawson, a pastor, and he said his theology teacher wrecked his world one day with one question asking, what can dead men do? What can a dead man do? And he said he was in seminary and he was looking around at the students waiting for an answer. And a guy from the back, student from the back finally answered, stink. All he can do is stink and rot. And that's true. God brought you to life and God sustains your life. So I think I was listening to Jackie Hill Perry the other day and she was saying, you know, we don't want to keep going to Jesus. We want it to be quick and fast, instant. You've been struggling with this sin your whole life and you think in an instant it's going to be taken away. You have people on YouTube, you have people on podcasts saying 3 steps to killing lust. 3 steps to doing this. I learned this trick or I learned this simple method and it helped me in lust. You have 400,000 views and millions of views because everybody seemed to be struggling with lust saying, oh, if I just do this one thing, lust will go away. If I just download Covenant Eyes, lust will go away. If I just make my phone a brick, lust will go away. If I just remove all the temptations, lust will go away. I'm sorry to tell you, but Paul says, if you want to remove temptation from your life, you'll have to leave earth. Jesus said temptation will always be here, but woe to the one who does the tempting. So if you're trying to avoid temptation in your life, good luck. That's a battle that you're going to deal with for the rest of your life. Now, there is victory, and I do believe that you can conquer it. But what I'm saying is that temptation is going to be there. What I used to do is think, okay, I'm a Christian now, so the temptation should go. And when the temptation came, I would cower and I would be terrified and I'll be so discouraged that it's still there. But my uncle told me this verse. And I'm going to read it to you. He kept showing me this verse, and this helped me so much. Galatians 5, let's start at 16. Look what it says. So I say, live by the Spirit power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, and the flesh wants to do what's wrong. So you have two natures living within you. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So my uncle used to tell me, good intentions don't make it God's will. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desire of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual morality, impurity, lustful pleasures. And it goes on. Then verse 22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. And then it goes into the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. And then 24, the crescendo says, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Why am I saying all this? What's the point? This is what I'm saying. We have so neglected the Holy Spirit's role in the Christian's life that we have just reduced his Christianity to reading books, reading the Bible, and hoping everything goes all right. Man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm sending an advocate to you. And he will lead you into all truth. He will say what I have spoken to him, to you, and he will be your advocate. An advocate is someone who it's like a court scene. It's someone that you're on trial for doing something wrong, but the advocate comes and speaks up for you. He defends your case. Jesus said, I won't leave you like orphans, but I'm sending my advocate to you, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized as a man, the Holy Spirit, this was super grace, a super endowment, right, of the Spirit. As John says, John the Baptist testified, Jesus was given a spirit without measure. So we don't get that same thing, but we don't get that same measure of the Holy Spirit. We don't get him like that. But what I'm saying is we get the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit produces in us new affections, new emotions, and the new renewed desire for righteousness. The Holy Spirit, he makes us want to be righteous. He makes us want to obey God. He makes us love God. He makes us submit to God. He makes us obedient to God. He makes us dwell with God. He makes us have fellowship with God. And I think that's a big, big thing. Fellowship is this delighting in one another. Do you delight in God? Do I delight in God? Do I desire God's presence? Do you desire to know him above anything else? That takes a daily commitment to him. It takes a daily submission to him. And as Jackie Hill said, I love what she said. She said, we don't want to keep going to him. We want it to be quick, fast food Christianity. That stuff makes you fat and diabetic. It makes you unhealthy. But the truth will set you free. It's the continuous abiding in Christ. Abide in me. That's a constant thing. That's a constant thing. You got to constantly abide in him. You have to constantly go to him. And we just don't want to do it because it takes too long. And the leaders of our churches promises quick deliverance. If they just put their hands on you, never going to struggle with that sin again. If they just speak in tongues powerfully. You know, they talk, God said that, you know, they get deep into it, right? But no man can produce that in you. No man can produce a desire to please God in you. No man can produce a desire and a zeal to kill sin in your life. A man can't produce that, but the man, Jesus Christ, can. Because Colossians says, and Christ, who is your life. When we become a Christian, Christ is your life. Does Christ delight in lust? Will Christ be found in the temple of prostitutes? Will Christ lie and gossip? Will Christ be using crystals and meth and drugs to get over hard times? Do we see that in the gospel? No. So our call is to be like Christ. Our call is to be like Christ. Last passage I want to share with y'all that helped me is one thing that we struggle with the most is your past. Your past, who you were before Christ. And the devil, honestly and constantly, reminds you of that. In your mind, making headway in your walk with Christ, and you may see somebody that you used to roll with, and they talk about those good times y'all used to have. And while they're excited, you might be grieving inside because you're just thinking about, oh man, how I used to. That had to grieve God's heart, right? You read Genesis and it says he destroyed the world. Before he destroyed the world, he said that it grieved God's heart that he ever made humanity. And you played a part in that. In your sinful nature, you grieve God's heart. That's why Ephesians says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by how you live your life. And those times just bring you back, or just moments of reflection. You may see a movie, or you may see an Instagram reel. I mean, I'm talking about for me, or a Facebook memory. You see how profane your mouth maybe have been, or how you glorified things that God hated. And you just like, it pains you when you get discouraged. Let me share something with you. Or you give into something that you used to give into before you knew the Lord, before you understood the weight of that thing. Now you come to know the Lord and you still give into that thing at times. You just like grieved all the time and your head is low. And I think it's a place for that, like self-humiliation and deeply grieved over your sin. I think that's healthy. And I think it's appropriate at times because God's trying to get your attention, but not if it's leading to death. Now, if it's leading to the death of sin, beautiful. But if you can't find joy, it's because you're looking too much at yourself. You're not looking at Christ. So let's listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3. He said this, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I press. Remember, he who started the work in you is faithful enough to bring it to completion. So if you are truly a Christian, if God has truly set you free, if God has truly done a work in your heart of regeneration, where he's taken out your old heart of stone that cannot respond to any stimulants. He's taken that out and he's given you a heart of flesh where you can respond to God's law. You can respond to God's commandments. You can respond to God's warning. You can respond to God's love and his grace and his tender mercy towards you. If he has done that for you, take heart, be encouraged. He's not done with you yet. Keep abiding, keep trusting, keep doing the normal things that Christians have done throughout all of history. Stop all that fast track Christianity stuff. Read your word, pray, fast, do the ordinances, go to church, be in the local church, get to know your pastor, be transparent with a few people you can be, share each other's burdens, confess your sin, the normal stuff that people do. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do all that other stuff. Just be honest with yourself and a few trusted friends. Be honest with yourself, but don't look back. Don't look back, because you can turn into a pillar of salt, right? Don't look back. Keep it forward. Whatever's behind there, Christ has dealt with that. His death on the cross paid for your sins, past, present, and future. And now we can delight in this passage. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not my past, not death, not famine, not suffering, not family, not my sin. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, because he's chosen me in Christ. And because God loves Christ, The love of the Father is going to be in, I'm going to be with him. The love of the Father is going to be in my heart because I'm in Christ. So stay encouraged. Don't give up the fight. Keep fighting the good fight of faith, because it's a fight and we got to wrestle, but don't go to despair. Keep trusting. Keep knowing that God is working in you and through you. Even when you don't feel it, even when you don't think it's true, even when you've given to that sin 100th time, fight the sin, but be patient. We are great sinners loved by a great God. Be blessed. This has been the Life Podcast. I hope that encouraged you to start your week. You know, at the Life Podcast, we like to filter our thoughts through God's thoughts, and we like to filter our ways through God's ways. We like to filter our perspectives through God's perspective. Be encouraged. Stay encouraged. Stay in the fight. Keep going to him. Don't give up. Love y'all.